Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And this week, the Houthis are attacking the American Navy. Yes, the Houthis are attacking the American Navy, and the Jews are the only ones bombing them. The U.S. Navy is just trying to defend the ships against drone attacks and missile and rocket attacks. But the Jews are actually bombing the Houthis in Yemen. And they're on a roll. We'll touch we'll touch base with our Israeli neighbors and get into all that. But I want to start first with news from the death penalty file, which we don't get enough of. And I will explain and enumerate exactly what I mean by that as we go forward. But this past Tuesday in Bon Terre, Missouri, a Missouri man, a 55-year-old man, was convicted for... Listen to how the folks at the Associated Press write this. I'm not going to say this guy's name. The killer, 55, was convicted in the 1998 killing of Leisha Gale, who was stabbed during the burglary of her St. Louis home. So notice that the urinalist put the year in to disassociate the crime from the victim and the killer and instead associate it with a number, a year, right? This killer was convicted in the 1998 killing. Well, what a true journalist would write was the killer, 55, was convicted for murdering Leisha Gale. But they don't do that because they're urinalists. And a good journalist would say that she was not just stabbed during the burglary, but that she was stabbed to death. You don't even have to mention the burglary. Urinalism drives me crazy. Anyway, this piece of garbage was put to death despite, and by the way, I looked at this story on at least a half a dozen other news wire services. And all of them led with, was put to death despite. The word despite was in every single report. Despite what, you might ask? Well, despite questions about jury selection, the handling of evidence, and whether or not OJ's glove fit, all kinds of questions that they've been asking for 25 years. And so all of the urinalists insert the required propaganda in order to get their news propagated on the wires and into all the news feeds. All the questions, there was never a question about the fact that this guy stabbed this innocent woman to death. There was no questions about that. But there were other questions that they've been asking for a long time. And they asked so many questions and had people so confused that eventually the victim's family signed off on a deal to commute the guy's sentence to life. The family was talked into writing the following statement. The family defines closure as the killer being allowed to live. Wow. The killer's execution is not necessary, and it was signed by the family. And so the family here is wrong. I understand that they're victims, and I feel sorry for them to a certain degree, but to say that the execution is not necessary is incorrect. God says it is necessary, and just because you're the family of the victim, you don't trump God. And to do so is blasphemous, and you should be ashamed of yourselves. So get over yourselves. After a nice, warm, soft, lethal injection, the killer's chest heaved about a half dozen times, and then he showed no further movement. So unlike the woman he stabbed to death, who was fighting for her life, screaming and terrified. So the killer was among death row inmates in five states scheduled to be put to death in the span of a week. And this story came out on Tuesday. And so there are five other, there were five other executions scheduled. Let's see, one already has been delayed, and there is one more on Tuesday. There are only seven executions scheduled in America in 2024. But there will be over 10,000 people murdered, and there are seven executions. So speaking of enumerating, that is an inverse equation right there. There's an inverse influence. If we had more executions, we would have fewer murders. The fewer executions we have, the more murders we have, because the heart of the potential murderer is encouraged to crime when they don't fear the punishment. For all of 2025, as of right now, there are 10 executions scheduled. 10. And there will be more than 10,000 people murdered. Speaking of an inverse relationship and equation. All right. From there, we go to... Oh, here we go. This story made all the wire services because it seems so shocking on its face when you read the headline, "Parents accused of trying to sell baby for money and beer at Arkansas campground." Yes, a couple is accused of trying to sell their two-month-old baby for beer and $1,000 at a campground in Benton County, Arkansas. I know. That's the first thing I thought, is I wish I'd been there that night. And if you see the pictures of the parents, chances are the best thing that ever could have happened to this child is if the deal had gone through. And yeah. 21-year-old Darian Urban and 20-year-old Shalane Eilers. So I'm just surprised they weren't asking for some methamphetamine when you look at the picture. It's just really scary that these people have children. The sheriff says witnesses provided investigators with a letter that showed the parents indeed intended to sign over their rights to the child. And they showed the sheriff's cell phone video of the pair signing the letter. It was like their official adoption papers. So, right. Signed right up top a 30-pack of Busch Light. Let's see. The baby had been given to someone in the campground in exchange for beer. And then later, the baby was passed off to another person for money. See, this is why we needed to be there. Mm-hmm. She just stepped in. Anyway, the hapless couple, the pathetic criminal couple, said in an interview that their baby was with the person who had adopted it. The baby is now in the care of the Arkansas Department of Human Services, which is probably worse than ending up with almost anyone in a campground in Benton County, Arkansas. So... Anyway, had we been there, my extremely attractive audio engineer and I, we would have taken the baby and no beer or money required, although we would have given them the beer. Yeah, we would have given the beer. All right. Now, from there, we are going to go to Iran by way of Beirut. That's right. Iran's embassy in Lebanon says that the Israeli strikes on Beirut, especially the one on their headquarters, and especially the one that killed their leader, Hassan Nasrallah, their Hezbollah leader, Hassan Nasrallah. Iran says this is going to bring the perpetrators an appropriate punishment. They say it's a reprehensible crime that changes the rules of the game. Yeah, it changes the rules, all right, Abdul. Now you know that the Jews are going to blow your house up, too, if you don't make peace quick and stop lobbing rockets at them. And so I can assure you that the back channels are burning up, probably between Tehran and Moscow. And I wouldn't be surprised if Vladimir Putin himself doesn't step in to broker the deal that Tehran is rapidly putting together and getting ready to beg Israel for. Please don't blow us up at our house. Yeah. Let's see. So Nasrallah was blown up at the headquarters, and then Hezbollah named his replacement, and within hours, the IDF killed him. That's right, Hassan Khalil Yassin was barely sworn in as the new fearless leader of Hezbollah before the Jews dropped a bomb on him and blew him off the face of the earth. Wow. Stephen Miller commented, he wasn't in charge long enough to be issued a Hezbollah pager. That's a pretty good line. That's pretty good. Meanwhile, speaking of the U.S. Navy, my goodness. So the Jews are putting bombs in their enemies' pockets and through their bedroom windows. And meanwhile, our Navy is trying to fight off rockets and drones being launched at them by 6th century backwards malcontents who can't even read or write. And while all that's going on, our Navy, the U.S. Navy now plans to sideline 17 logistics ships that Navy experts call the backbone of the U.S. Navy's logistics network. They're going to remove 17 support ships from the fleet. They're going to remove them from active service. And some naval experts and veterans are alarmed by this.
Really?
Yeah. And this is only part of what the criminally insane sex cult who took over the Navy calls their great reset of the Navy, which involves decommissioning 48 ships in 4 years. And then over the next 4 years, well, from 22 to 26. And now, after all of this has been announced, the U.S. Navy oiler, Bighorn, ran aground and partially flooded off the coast of Oman, leaving the Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group without its primary fuel source. So a DEI quota hire probably at the helm there, up there on the bridge, maybe getting a tattoo or maybe getting permanent eyeliner on his face as his ship ran aground. According to this veteran Navy expert, although he may work for the military industrial complex, so you've got to take whatever he says and maybe divide it by a third, because the guys working for the military industrial complex, they're in the racket. But he says we need 100 fleet oil tankers and we have fewer than 10. Okay, so he says we need 100. Let's assume that we actually need 30. Well, we still have fewer than 10. So that's just alarming with everything that's going on. I mean, not that the world's unstable or that there could be a war or anything like that. I don't have a tinfoil hat on freaking out about the possibility of a war. My goodness. Let's go now from the Navy. Oh, from the Navy, we have a story fed to us from our Alaska Bureau, from the Big Flinch file. The Gateway Pundit says, on average, empires survive about 250 years before they collapse. America is 248 years old. I did this story in 2020 when I read the book by the author there, America's Expiration Date. I can't remember the guy's name. His next book was not nearly as good. Anyway, so I did this story 4 years ago about empires, and so it holds true. Anyway, so the fella at the Gateway Pundit is worried that the end is near for the American Empire, and he gives a sign of the times. The Minneapolis Police Department swore in its first non-citizen officer, as well as its first Somali female officer, and they don't say if that's the same officer, or if the female Somali officer just identifies as a woman, or just identifies as Somali. Is he, she, it actually Somali or female? None of that. That's all left, but better left unsolved. And then the author at the Gateway Pundit reminds us, Minneapolis is the same city where violent left-wing rioters burned down a police station after George Floyd died in police custody of a fentanyl overdose. And I'll remind all of you, yes, thank you, that Minneapolis is the scene of the Big Flinch. It's the Weekly Worldview. Yeah. That sounds like end of the world music. That'll be the soundtrack of the razing of downtown Minneapolis when the leftists finally get their wish and they're able to just raise the entire center of the city. So from there, from Minneapolis, from the big flinch, we're going to go to, should I go to basketball? Now, I'm not a big basketball fan. So I don't watch sports, and I don't watch girls' sports. Even when I watch sports, I didn't watch girls' sports because nobody considered that real sports. But now, Caitlin Clark has somehow given the WNBA some semblance of respectability as if it's a real sport, and I think it's because she's really good. She could certainly beat me in a game of horse. Even at the top of my game, when I was 20 years old and in peak physical condition, Caitlin Clark would run circles around me. I'd be embarrassed. I'd probably fall over. And she is Rookie of the Year. I don't know if they've actually voted yet. But anyway, this story caught my eye because, first of all, her team made the playoffs, and she was in the playoffs, and I can read it from the, Clark was looking to make a pass to teammate Alia Boston in the first quarter with another, DeJounte Carrington was guarding her on the other team. Clark found Boston with the pass, but Carrington poked Clark in the eye while allegedly trying to deflect the pass.
Allegedly?
Uh-huh. No foul was called. And when you watch it in slow motion, it's the most obvious, a purposeful poke in the eye I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything like it. And nobody called a foul, and Clark went down the next day. Her eye was black, and she couldn't see. Her team lost. Her team got bounced out of the playoffs because this lady was allowed to poke her in the eye. So you poke the best player in the eye, and they get knocked out, and everyone sits by, and nobody's allowed to say anything about it. Well, I'm going to say something about it. First of all, Clark's team was allowed to eventually lose due to a flagrant poke in the eye, a physical assault. And the WNBA is going to go along with that. I'm telling you, this is a milestone in the decline and fall of Western civilization. That this is allowed to happen on TV in front of God and everybody, and nobody's allowed to question it. Okay, secondly, and this is much bigger than the poke to the eye. This is way bigger. So Clark was pressured to agree with the minority opinion that the poke in the eye was unintentional. Clark, I'm surprised they didn't force her to get down on one knee at the top of the key and say that the poke in the eye was unintentional. But she did have to say that. She had to say that the poke was unintentional, and then everyone had to act like the poke was unintentional. And then now everyone's going to have to act as if the team that physically assaulted the best player in the league in order to move on in the playoffs, they're going to act like they didn't do that. And that is just despicable. This is from the insurrection file, because this is a part of the insurrection. The WNBA is obviously some sort of Marxist propaganda machine. And nobody was even watching them until Caitlin. I mean, whatever, the players' moms would watch. Just despicable and just a sign of the times. Just awful. Just horrible. All right. From there, we go to the Way of the World file, where the governor down in Kentucky is a Democrat. And we're going to be reminded that he's a Democrat right up through Election Day and then after Election Day. Because so many websites, news aggregators, make their living on the Democrat, Republican. That whole wheel. They're just up on that wheel, just spinning their wheels. Democrats are bad. Republicans are good. Republicans are Nazis. Democrats are progressive. Just, it's so sickening. Anyway, the governor down there, Andy Beshear, issued an executive order banning conversion therapy for minors. Are you familiar with conversion therapy? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer. No. Not familiar with conversion therapy? Conversion therapy... Let's see here. It, It's where you try to take a kid who think he's a queer and tell him he's not a queer. And they call that conversion therapy. What about converting to a queer? Isn't that conversion? I mean, wouldn't this be like reversion therapy? But no, they call it conversion therapy because they're Marxist insane, all of that. Well, in Kentucky, it's going to be illegal to tell a kid who says he's a queer to maybe think about he's not a queer. That's illegal. That's considered abuse now.
Kentucky?
In Kentucky, I know. It's like the buckle of the Bible Belt. So Bashir's executive order makes it illegal to utilize state or federal funding to support conversion therapy. That's another thing about these arrogant bastards who in government. They act like they have all this power. He issues this executive order as if he has banned conversion therapy, but he hasn't. He's just banned using state or federal money to support conversion therapy. So normal people, if they want to counsel teenagers who are in a crisis over their sexuality, you can still do it. You just can't. You can't use the government's money. And you probably need to do it pretty quietly, or Bashir will try to have you arrested, or at least try to file a lawsuit against you. But I say bring it on. That's because Bashir's executive order also provides licensing boards the ability to take action on licenses if doctors are caught conducting conversion therapy. And I say doctors with quotations marks because it's psychologists. Conversion therapy, says the criminally insane sex cult priest there in Kentucky, Andy Bashir. He says conversion therapy can cause increased rates of suicide and depression. Okay. So you know what they do is the fact that sexually deviant people are generally depressed and kill themselves a lot. It happens because they're sexual deviants, right? They're destroying their mind and their soul and their spirit. And so they get depressed about it and they kill themselves a lot. And the criminally insane sex cult says, no, it's you normal people's fault that these sexual deviants are depressed and kill themselves. They don't recognize, or they will not allow normal people to state the truth that it's the sexual perversion and deviance that produces depression and suicide. Now, we have the response here from the Family Foundation. Uh-huh. That's a group of pro-family industry lawyers who are going to make their living for the next few years off of this. They stated that the governor's order, quote, violates the rights of parents and stifles religious expression. That's right. And their statement, according to the reporters at naturalnews.com, they say that possibly signals a legal challenge. Possibly? They're already writing the fundraising letters over at the Family Foundation. The Family Foundation wants Kentucky to return to the previous practice where parents and their children were free to seek counseling that they desire, including faith-based counseling. Including faith-based counseling. That's a statement from David Walls, the executive director and top fundraiser for the Family Foundation. And so the folks who are supposed to be on our side, the normal people's side, not the queers and the deviants and the freaks and the perverts and the weirdos, the normal people, they equivocate faith-based counseling with evil. They say parents and children should be free to seek whatever they want, including God and reality and sanity. No, you should not be allowed to entertain sexual perversion and deviance in confused teenagers. There's only one solution for that, and that's reality, and that's Jesus Christ and God. And we don't equivocate psychobabble and other means of counseling and whatever the world has. None of that stuff works. There are a bunch of child molesters in that industry. But our side now equivocates faith-based counseling with other counseling, and the devil will take that. That's a win for the devil. He's happy with that. Even if Governor Bashir's order gets turned over, the devil's happy that he got our side to equivocate psychobabble with faith-based counseling, whatever faith-based counseling is. I'm not sure I like that term either. All right. So from there, The insanity of all that in Kentucky, for crying out loud. How does Kentucky end up with a communist maniac governor? So surely they're fixing the elections up there, or there's too much fentanyl. I don't know what's going on. It's shocking because you would think Kentucky would be a fairly conservative place.
Cheese.
It's cheese? Oh, money. Government cheese. Yeah, yeah, that's it. All right. Now, from Kentucky, we go to California, where you would expect this kind of stuff. Reason number 1,251 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Parents in California are fed up.
No way.
Uh-huh. They're fed up with the state usurping their authority. Surprising, after you've given this, your kids to the state for four generations, now you're fed up. That you're usurping our authority. But wait a minute, you've been dropping off your kid here at 7:30 every morning. For your whole life.
And they would do it again.
And your parents did it. And your grandparents did it. What authority do you have? Well, the parents in California want to reassert some authority. Out in Huntington Beach, they're suing the state of California to protect the city's power to govern as a self-proclaimed parents' right to know city. That's right. They want to declare their city free from the state law that forbids parental notification when a student says they belong to the opposite sex. Right now in California, it's illegal to tell mom and dad if Johnny thinks he's Janie at school and wants to go by Jane. It's illegal. Well, Huntington Beach claims that the state's constitution protects its autonomy, and they are battling over California's transgender notification policy, and such battles are breaking out in all directions. A number of cities are considering similar legal actions. The number of youth in California who identify as transgender is almost three times the national average, and that's where parents in California draw the line. By golly. So according to legalinsurrection.com, in California, as elsewhere, all the child has to do is ask, and the school will begin using a new name and new pronouns without the parents' knowledge or consent. As if the parents' knowledge or consent would make it any better. But the devil take that. He's happy with that. The schools, according to Legal Insurrection, the schools routinely claim secret social transitioning is necessary to keep kids safe. It's to keep the children safe. It's for the children. It's all about safety. Safety first for the children. Who are you protecting them from? Their parents. Oh. So it's not really. So the article says the schools routinely claim, but it's not the schools who claim. School's just a building. It's the pervert teachers and administrators. It's the child molesters running the schools. And you people think it's hyperbole when I say that the schools are crawling with child molesters and perverts. It's not hyperbole. It's true. They're crawling with them. Your kid cannot go to a public school without encountering at least one child molester every day. At least one. I don't care where you are. The government school system is designed to attract and empower child molesters. And it's been that way for my entire life. And so by now, the machine that generates perversion and child molesters, it's a well-oiled machine, and the production line in the government schools is at full capacity. It's the Weekly Worldview. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. One more thing on this story from California. The complaint filed by Huntington Beach, the normal people, the complaint alleges parents should be informed about parental gender notification policies. Folks, the fact that your school has a parental gender notification policy, that should be the sign that you should flee. Get out. They're insane child molesters. And the devil will take this from you normal people up in Huntington Beach. Okay, parents should be informed. I'll agree with that, says the devil, as he takes civilization down one more notch closer to hell. All right. And speaking of that, let's go to the American Academy of Pediatrics. This is from the All Gone Mad file. A coalition of 20 states has informed the American Academy of Pediatrics that it is under investigation for its misleading and deceptive claim endorsing puberty blockers as reversible treatments. You may remember, right? Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador leads the coalition. He's written a demand letter served on the American Academy of Pediatrics last week. The demand letter requests the medical group's cooperation in investigating whether its unscientific claim about the drugs violates the state's consumer protection laws. So here's a group of doctors who came out and lied about extremely powerful life-altering drugs and ruined the lives of countless children, and all the normal people can do is challenge it as a violation of consumer protection laws. Is that all the normal people can muster against criminally insane perverts abusing and disfiguring children for life? Is that all we got? You have got to be kidding me. I mean, unless this is part of a bigger strategy that's intended to eventually end in criminal charges, these people should be arrested. The doctors who signed a letter that stated lies about these drugs, they should be prosecuted. And if convicted, they should be executed. But we're just going to go for the... hopefully this is part of a larger strategy and heads roll at some point. So what go on here. A statement from the Attorney General there in Idaho, Raul, says, when it comes to treating children diagnosed with gender dysphoria... Okay, so I would just stop right there. I wouldn't go on from there. I would stop and say, "What? Who came up with this idea of gender dysphoria? Let's cut that out." But he can't, because now gender dysphoria has been established by a bunch of drug addict child molesters who call themselves psychiatrists and psychologists. Doctors, give me a break. You're a drug dealer. You're a borderline insane, mentally deficient drug dealer. That's who becomes psychiatrists and psychologists. Don't tell me you're a doctor. Get out of here with that. The American Academy of Pediatrics says Raul has abandoned its commitment to sound medical judgment. They abandoned that when they... All right. When they just started prescribing psychoactive drugs for everything, for everyone, for all the time. So that everyone can be as wasted as they are. And they don't feel like such a bunch of misfits. Sound medical judgment. A bunch of drug dealers. Anyway, I will remind you, the Academy, in 2018, did away with a long-standing pediatric protocol known as watchful waiting, which was an approach that allowed gender dysphoric children to naturally progress through puberty while treating them with counseling and psychotherapy rather than administering sex-altering drugs. Okay, so did you not realize that the natural progression from counseling and psychotherapy by a bunch of drug-addled perverts, was it not obvious that that would eventually lead to shooting the kids up with sex-altering drugs? You didn't see this coming? I saw this coming. So instead of a policy of treating gender dysphoric children with counseling and psychotherapy, how about finding out what the hell's going on at their house or at their school and who's abusing the child? You got a 9-year-old kid confused about his sexuality. I'm telling you, there's a crime going on. Someone's abusing that child, either at home or at school. We need to find out what's going on. Forget about watching and waiting and put them on psychoactive drugs and having them talk to a head shrinker. That's insanity. Find out who's abusing the kid. And these days, it can be as simple as parents allowing their children to watch TV and the internet. That's enough to drive a kid into sexual dysphoria. Because the kid's getting bombarded with sex all the time. That's not healthy. So if you got kids, you just disconnect from all of that stuff. Because it's saturated with filth. And it's abuse to allow your kid unfettered access to television or the internet. It's abuse. You got to be smarter than that. I mean, come on. You're without excuse. So you grandparents, find out what your kids are letting their grandkids get into here. All right, because we're all responsible. We're all going to stand before God. We're going to have to answer. So you just want to be prepared. And not just for you to answer before God, but what about the child? What about the child, this poor innocent child who doesn't realize he's walking into a sexual meat grinder with the pop culture and the media and the internet and the social media, all of that. Disconnect from all that filth. From the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Academy, we go into the bad religion file where Governor Gavin Newsom in the state of California has banned plastic bags altogether. We reported recently that the strategy of making thick plastic bags that people would reuse, well, it didn't really work because people just used them like they used the other bags. And so you ended up with three times the waste because the bags were three times as thick. And so the state solution now is to ban all plastic bags at supermarkets. That's right. The ban on all plastic shopping bags at the grocery store goes into effect in 2026, meaning that the Democrats and the communists and the criminally insane gang that runs California, they don't care enough about killing Mother Earth to stop now. They're going to wait a year. So Mother Earth might go over the edge in that time. That's right. Catastrophic collapse of the ecosystem because the government in California couldn't ban bags fast enough. We lost Mother Earth. It's terrible. Now, if you don't bring bags to the store in California, you will be asked if you want a paper bag. If you want a paper bag. So, of course, the question is for our poor brothers and sisters out in California, are they going to have to pay for the paper bag? I mean, you're going to be asked if you want one. Well, sure, I want one, but how much does it cost? Who doesn't want a bag? Of course you want a bag. I just bought a bunch of stuff. Think I don't want a bag? Of course I want a bag. So they don't say whether or not you're going to have to pay for the paper bags, but some of us are old enough and are Americans, and we remember when the paper bags were free. And we weren't even trying to save any fish or any turtles or anything. We just gave each other bags because we lived in a civilized society. Treated each other with some respect, like as human beings. We didn't all look at each other as if we were destroying Mother Earth. But let's hear from Senator Catherine from Encinitas. She's one of the bill's supporters. She said people were not using or recycling the plastic bags. It's like, you don't have to say that. We knew that. Everybody knew that, you dunce. But she points that out as if everyone should feel guilty for just acting like a normal person. She's a drug addict and a child molester, and she's upset that you're not recycling the plastic bags that she shoved down your throat. So, that's right. She's upset. Shopping bag trash per person grew from 8 pounds to 11 pounds under Senator Catherine's watch. And who does she blame? You, of course. She says the previous bag ban didn't reduce use of plastic. Okay, could you keep stating the obvious there, genius? Is that how you ended up in the Senate? You're that smart? She said, we are literally choking our planet with plastic waste. Now, there we go. Give me some material I can use. Because your previous, didn't reduce plastic. That's like Kamala Harris could write that. Now, at least you're up there with Greta Thunberg. We're literally choking our planet with plastic waste. And so now, so they're going to ban the plastic bags there at the grocery store up in Sacramento. But the law only bans plastic bags at the checkout. Customers can still use the bags offered for produce and for meat, at least for now. So what are they going to do when they realize that the meat is in a styrofoam tray and it has plastic on it? They're going to go hysterical. They're going to make you carry the meat out in your hands. That's right. Or no, they'll put the meat in a paper bag for you. That's just... Let's see. Oh, and then they redefined a recycled paper bag. So listen to this. These tyrants, they think they're so... They literally have a God complex. Starting in January 2028, the state, which is a criminally insane sex cult and a criminal gang, will also define a recycled paper bag as one with more than 50% recycled material. What does that really mean? It really means they will define a recycled paper bag as one we're told has more than 50% recycled material. And how are they going to prove that it has more than 50%? They're not. Because they know that it doesn't really matter, because this is all really just a religious ritual in a godless church where it's okay to lie to each other so we can all feel better. So this reminds me. So in our neighborhood, you have the option, you can have recycling, you know, you can have recycled bins, you have your trash, you have your recycling, you know, to make the communists feel better. So we have a neighbor who sorts their paper and their plastic into two separate recycling bins and then puts them out. And then the truck comes by, grabs both bins, and dumps them into the same giant bin. And so that's how you recognize this is obviously a religious thing. This is not, because no matter what, the family that separates their plastic and paper, they probably wash their plastic too. And then they feel better about themselves, which is really what this is all about. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thanks for sticking with us. Oh no, I almost forgot the politics update on the most important election of our lifetime. How could I forget? Last week, there was a joint statement from RFK Jr. and Donald Trump promising to stop the mass poisoning of American kids. That's right, and RFK gives the tongue lashing to Americans poisoning their kids standing in front of a box of Crunch Berries. So he's going to attack Crunch Berries and Captain Crunch and Lucky Charms. But RFK and Donald Trump both approve of actual poison pills actually designed to actually kill children. And not just over a lifetime, but pretty much right away. So they're in favor of poison pills to kill babies and little kids while they're in the womb, but they say they're going to stop the mass poisoning of America by Crunch Berries. So forgive me if I don't buy into your Crunch Berry argument. And by the way, no one ever pretended Crunch Berries were good for you, okay? But for you to call them poison while you endorse the actual poisoning of children, forgive me, I think you're a hypocrite. Get out of here with that. And these are the guys that the conservatives are going to elect to save America. It's just unbelievable. All right. And I do want to, do I want to address this? I feel like I need to address this, even though it's something that you wish you never even had to talk about. But in the light of the most recent revelations regarding Sean Puffy Combs, I just want to warn people. I've noticed a pattern going back a number of years now. Back to the Me Too movement, whenever that started, I'm not sure when that was. But when the Me Too movement started happening, and you had all these gross allegations made about people, and very graphic descriptions of what they were doing. And then since that has, now that's going on pretty much all the time. There's someone caught up in a Me Too moment, and we and all the salacious details of all the accusations are grist for news aggregators and websites and social media all over the place. And then you have the daily reports of teachers abusing students in the schools. And I've begun to notice a pattern with all this in the Harvey Weinstein and the Jeffrey Epstein and then the Hunter Biden and now the exposure of Sean Puffy Combs. What I've noticed is these events are not intended or designed to bring the bad guys to justice, because the bad guy almost never gets justice. I'm convinced that all of this is a carefully crafted social event, or a series of carefully crafted social events designed to be disguised as news, but actually intended to lure everyone into looking at dirty pictures and reading dirty stories and thinking depraved thoughts. That's what it's actually about. It's about corrupting your mind by even looking at it and hearing about it. When a criminal like this is discovered, it should never be public. The trial and all the filth and all the it should all be kept behind closed doors so that you don't expose normal people and children to this filth. And you say, oh no, you can't do that. Everything has to be public. No, we need a government that we could trust to prosecute things like this. And by the way, if the government instituted justice as it is intended to do and as it is required to do by God, there would be very few people into this depraved filth. Very few. So it wouldn't be a lot of prosecutions. But be careful. All of these news stories, these are not intended for justice. These are not intended to change the world. These are not intended to make the world a better place or make women or children safer. They're designed to corrupt your mind. So these are actually weapons of war. These news stories, they're weapons of war designed to coarsen us as we're being prepared as fodder for the next old-fashioned war that the devil's minions intend to instigate at the earliest possibility. The devil and his minions have been artificers of cunning inventions of warfare since the beginning. And if you've studied combat, or if you've ever been around men who've been in combat, combat soldiers are prone to become depraved as they experience killing around them and at them, and especially their own personal killing of other human beings. It messes up your mind. You become depraved. Why do conquering armies rape when they get into the city? It's because they're depraved. They've been killing people. It's very unhealthy. And for this next war, Satan is preparing a general. I say Satan, I mean his minions. Satan is preparing a generation who's already depraved through all this sexual deviance and perversion. He's preparing that generation to kill one another. And I'm concerned that it'll be the greatest bloodbath in all of human history. God help us all. So just be careful what you look at. I don't click those stories anymore. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what Sean Puffy Combs was into or Jeffrey Epstein. I don't care. I know what that's all about. It's corrupting of the mind. Don't look at it. All right. So and on that, we now let's shift to peak climate. You know, I've been predicting peak climate. I think we're almost there. And here's another signpost along the way. OpenAI wants to build data centers using electricity that would be equal to about 1% of the world's entire electricity consumption. That's the new they want. 5 gigawatts. They want to build for OpenAI so they can have their artificial intelligence. 5 gigawatt power plants. That's equivalent of 5 nuclear reactors. How much is that? It's enough to supply Miami. Okay, so that's a lot. This is for their AI processing center. And they want this Sam Altman wants to build 7 of these 5-gigawatt data center power plants. And if he gets to do what he wants to do, he would be consuming more power than the entire state of New York just for ChatGPT. So you can go and ask something about a baseball game or I don't know. Anyway, so now the feasibility of such a project has been met with skepticism from industry experts like Joe Dominguez, the CEO of Constellation Energy. He says of Sam Altman's 35 gigawatt dream, he says it's not only something that's never been done, but I don't believe it's feasible as an engineer. So Sam Altman thinks you can power your AI investment on ketamine and vitamin water, but there are engineers who do electricity and they're like, this is not going to happen there, Sammy boy. But watch. You watch how fast the left throws the planet under the bus in order to get their AI profits from all the AI stock that they've invested in over the past 2 years. They'll throw Mother Earth under the bus and we will achieve peak climate. We'll go over the hill and they'll start building nuclear reactors. Well, they'll start building nuclear reactors. How else do you build 5-gigawatt power plants? So there's really no other way and build them quickly. There's no other way. And so Mother Earth, forget about her. She's dead on arrival. As far as the fortunate thing is that Mother Earth probably going to be okay either way. It's probably not going to, when the leftists abandon Mother Earth, she won't feel too bad because she'll probably be all right, better off on her own. Okay, now, more from the politics file. Big update. A Democrat fired shots at Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign office in Arizona just over a week after a second assassination attempt against Donald Trump. Several bullets were fired sometime after midnight on Monday, and oddly enough, no one was inside. But the New York Post says this raises concerns. So why were shots fired into Kamala Harris's headquarters in Arizona by a Democrat? To raise concerns. That's why. That's why. To raise concerns. All right. Now, I was just speaking about peak climate. Listen to this. There is some resistance to the impending imposition of peak climate upon the hysterics. From the widespread panic file, the climate blueprint for media transformation is the brainchild of a bunch of climate hysterics, mostly communists, child molesters, drug addicts, greedy for money. That's all they are. Dressed up in their new religion of socialism, which is climate hysteria. They have the climate blueprint for media transformation. And the Daily Wire says this is a plan to inject climate hysteria into newsrooms. And I'm thinking, a plan to? So this has been happening for at least 30 years that I'm aware of. A plan to inject climate hysteria into the newsrooms? Okay. This plan is funded by left-wing foundations, including the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. That's Zuckerberg's wife, by the way, is a Chinese Communist Party plant. Who somehow she ends up marrying. How is it that a Chinese communist ends up marrying the most powerful social media CEO in the world? How does that end up happening? Not by accident, I'll guarantee you that. Also, in addition to the communist Zuckerberg lady, the Ford Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Hewlett Foundation, all of these are members of the criminally insane sex cult. When I talk about the criminally insane sex cult that sees civilization, it's these people and everyone in elected office. Unless you have to prove you're not, okay? My default position is if you are in elected office, you are a member of the cult. There are a few who may not be, but they would have to prove themselves. So here, what about this plan? Oh, the plan is to make stories on every beat, including crime and sports, about climate change. I thought that was already going on. That's one of the reasons we got rid of the TV altogether. Because you turn on the news and it's like, this is insane. I can't watch this anymore. I can feel my IQ dropping. The editor over at India Currents, Prachi Singh, says that, quote, reporters need to shift from chasing deadlines to meaningfully connecting with women, people of color, indigenous peoples, and LGBTQIA plus community and other groups who are more affected by the climate crisis. That's Prachi Singh, the editor at India Currents. She's one of these left-wing news outlets. I have no idea. This year, by the way, we're reminded by the Daily Wire, this year marks the deadline for the Pentagon's 2004 report that predicted to President George W. Bush that in 20 years, climate change would wreak havoc on the world, turning Great Britain into Siberia and leading to nuclear conflict, drought, and famine. That was all predicted in 2004 to happen over the next 20 years. None of that has happened. Hence, we are approaching peak climate. You can fool some of the people some of the time. And in America, you can fool all the people most of the time. But eventually, we all want AI. And we're going to have our power plants. And we're going to get our plastic bags back, too, eventually. So, all right. So from there we go to, do I want to do this? Do we have enough time? Okay, I'll close with this story. Reason number 1,250 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. While the government schools will not teach your children how to read at a third grade level by the time they graduate, what they will do is promote environmental and climate literacy. That's right. The government schools have vowed to equip students to counter the rising tide of denialism. That's right. This is a platform in the Democrat Party platform in the most important election of our lifetime coming up. The Democrats want to increase environmental literacy. The platform mentions the importance of climate literacy. Oh, climate literacy. That's a new one. Meanwhile, the average reading score for both 4th and 8th grade students in 2022 had fallen by 3 points relative to 2019, and most kids are somewhere below plant life when it comes to IQ measurements as a result. But the criminally insane perverts running the government schools say they want to equip students to fight denialism. So, first of all, no political party should be involved in education policy at all. There should be no discussion among people running for office. There should be no discussion about education policy because they shouldn't be involved. But even the reporters here at WorldNet Daily, which is a conservative news aggregator, and by the way, most Christians and churches and Christian organizations, they think the government should be educating their kids and that we need to get involved and make sure that the policies are right. And so the devil will take that. He's good. So he can't inject the kids with tranny drugs in the hallway. So we draw the line somewhere, right? He'll take that. Just the fact that you think the government should be educating your kids while he's filling the government with criminally insane sex perverts. So he'll take that. It's a win for the devil. And the folks at WorldNet Daily, they should be ashamed of themselves. They should know better. When you do a story like this, you're obligated to tell the parents, do you see what's going on here? The communist indoctrination of your children into insanity. Flee the government schools. Get them out. Don't let your children be exposed to this. But no, they just want to... they say this is those darn dirty Democrats. What we need is Republicans who'll write sane education policy from Washington for my children. Just sad. All right. Is that it? I think that's it. I can't do any more of this. Okay. That's all I got, folks. I'm going to do a video responding to Alex O'Connor. He's a famous atheist. And he says he can't trust the Bible, or he doesn't trust the Bible. I'm not sure if he doesn't or he can't. But I'm going to get to the bottom of that, and I will put that video up on my YouTube channel, and I will put it up here at the Weekly Worldview. So I hope to do that very soon. I've been watching the young man's video, and he's an interesting fellow, and I'm hoping to help him and maybe help you too if you question the Bible or have questions about the Bible. Because I've had a lot of them, and I found out that what you have to do is crack it open and read it for a while. It actually provides the answers. All right. And should the Lord tarry, we'll be back next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you. May the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.